Hey, welcome back to the Possibility Show, and this is your host Jovan, and I'm a life design coach. So I help people design the life that they want because you know they can. And if you want more information about what I do, more information about people that I've helped, just check out my website jovanmedrano.com. And that's basically it for me, and it's not about me. And today, because we have a special guest, when I received his email and I saw his life story, I was truly inspired. And I am still inspired by his story. And it's amazing because currently he is a successful and award-winning, you know, international speaker, inspirational speaker, and a certified coach as well. And in order for him to get there, he had to go through a lot of extraordinary stuff in his life. And of course, you know, we'll be talking about that as well. But roughly, you know, he has been suffering for 30 years. Imagine that, 30 years from an incurable and chronic illness called hemolytic uremic syndrome. If I didn't pronounce it correctly, you'll probably correct me later. Perfect. But that affected his kidney, and he has been struggling with that for, you know, most of his life. But yet he's still here, you know, fully, you know, alive and living life. And so, yeah, without further ado, let's all welcome Nathaniel Suberg.
Hey everybody, so glad to be here today and spend some minute with you, Jovan, as well, with all the listeners out there. So excited for this time.
Yeah, me too. I'm very, very excited. And so, just like what I mentioned, like you've been struggling for 30 years now. And, you know, so where I want to start with is, that's amazing, right? Like maybe you can give a very brief story of how it all happened, you know, and so that people can get to really understand what you went through.
Absolutely. It's quite a long story, but I'm going to make it really short. So imagine you are 1 year old that when I got diagnosed with a chronic illness, which affected my kidneys. So my kidneys had to be removed, which means like that whenever a person does not have any kidney, you have to go to a life-saving treatment, which is called dialysis. Mm-hmm. I had to start that with about 1.5 years old, and up to 5 years old, I had that dialysis at home every night. And I had a lot of complications with infections, with vomiting, because there was a congestion between the dialysis and my artificial feeding. And but the crazy thing that happened was when I was about 3 years old, I was falling into a coma for 2 weeks. After those 2 weeks, the doctors called my parents to come into the hospital, and they told them, look, we have done everything we can do. There's nothing else we can do right now, and we have to turn off. We have to let your son, we have to let your son go. And my parents came into the ICU to terminate my life. My mom and my dad spoke something to me before they finally turned off everything. And by the time the machine got turned off, the life supporting machine, I started to talk again.
Wow.
And this was a huge miracle for everybody. Of course, I was coming back and then switched back into the coma and back and forth for about a couple of weeks until I finally, come back to the normality. And the crazy thing was like, before or during the coma, the doctors said that there's no more function in the brain. But after the coma, there was no damage at all, except the damage of having a too high blood pressure, which I had to take a lot of medication. And by the side effect of that, of this medication, I lost about 80% of my hearings with 4 years old. It continued. We had the first light in the lung tunnel when we got a call to have a kidney transplant with 5 years old. Unfortunately, that only worked for 24 hours. And the problem was that the chronic illness strike back and destroyed the kidneys. I had to go back to dialysis, which then I changed to a different kind of dialysis. That meant like I had to go to the hospital 3 times a week for about 3 to 4 hours. With 7 years old, there was another hope that when I had my second kidney transplant. And imagine the first 7 years, my time was based on going to the hospital, living in the hospital, surviving somehow. And now this all stopped because of the kidney. I could learn to feed myself. I could go out. I could try hobbies. I could learn flourishing, all the things that kids do in the first 7 years. I had basically to start with 7 years old. And that was absolutely the dream life, because I wish nothing else than having a normal life. And of course, it was a normal life, yet very new to me, and everything was new to me. After 2.5 years, the chronic illness strike back again, destroyed the kidneys. And for me, it was like letting go of my best friend, of my very best friend. And I was falling into deep depression. For I remember lying on the couch in my parents' home for about 2 weeks. I didn't talk anything. Even my parents come up on and on again to ask, hey, what's going on? How can we help? I just didn't want to talk. I didn't eat anything, and I only moved if I really needed it. All what happened in my mind was thinking about how I can end this life.
Wow.
The reality was I was always on one side, I was pushed to do it. On the other side, I was pushed to not giving up. After 2 weeks, I had support from, I'm a person of faith as well. I was growing up in a faith-based home, and my parents kind of ordered a pastoral care into a home. And from that time, I realized that after those prayers, that my spiritual, emotional, and physical strength is coming back. And somehow in all this, over a period of time, I realized that somehow I can go on with that. Even I have to go back to my old life that I had before, 3 times to dialysis. Complications are already programmed again. And but yet I realized I have to, or I want, and sometimes I have to keep going. I had my 13 transplant when I was about 11 years old. And again, for 13 months, it was absolutely the dream. Yet I realized I now have again everything that I wanted, but still I don't have everything. And what I realized was that no matter how good my health is, how many things I have or don't have, it's not based on that. I started to find out, well, what is there more in this world to have than having a better health or good health? And so for me, I come to the conclusion, for me personally, is to start a relationship with a loving God, and who knows my life, who controls my life, because I was depending on something higher than my kidneys, my health, my circumstances. And so even though I lost my kidneys after 13 months, I I still was very disappointed, yet I started to believe that everything will work out together for the good. All the bad things that happened in my past life or in the previous year, somehow in the future will work out for the good. I had to go back to dialysis. That was back in 2001. And since then, I'm continually on dialysis. I had as well until up to 15. So I would say between age 1 and 15, I had the craziest years of my life. With 15 years old, things become stable. I still have to go to dialysis. But I'm so happy and grateful to be here today because after all that life gave me and the lessons that I could learn, and even after 40 operation, 4,500 life-saving treatment, and I shouldn't be able, 6 times by now, I shouldn't be able to talk, walk, and amount to anything according to the doctor. I love to see how all those negativities has turned into something greater and serves me today to be a global inspirational speaker and victorious mindset mentor. And that's part of my story.
Amazing. And so one of the things that you shared is that there was some point there when you were very depressed and a part of you like wants to end it. And then another part of you wants to just, you know, still keep on going. And so, I'm glad that part kept you going, right? But what's inside that part that really motivated you to just live?
Great question. I think I always say it's explainable in some parts, but it's not explainable because I think it was, I believe we are kind of spiritual beings.
Yes.
In a sense of we in our deepest core there is the spirit, but we are surrounded by our physical being. The reality is that those are always in contradiction with each other. So let me give me an example. We all have feelings when we want something right now. Let's say we want chocolate right now, or whatever you like. We want to have it right now. But if we actually think about every decision that we make every day about what we want right now, most of the things, they only satisfy us in the short term. Like if you eat chocolate, you have the flavor for maybe maximum 2-1 minute. but if you eat that all the time, we all know the consequences long term. You get a lot of sugar rush and you could end up in the diabetes. So what I think what happened in our life is we always live in that tension between the spiritual part and the physical part, and those are always fighting together. I call it the battlefield in the mind, because the mind is something that everything goes on where we can make the decision. And for me, it's really interesting to see how powerful the mindset can be, because we can make the decision of say, okay, it might be very uncomfortable right now when I want to give up. I want to smash everything I had, and that will make, or in most of the cases, it will satisfy me in the short term. However, if I don't give up, as I said, whatever you sow, you will reap. What means like that when you keep going, when you don't give up, when you keep that battle in your mind to see the long-term affection, then you can win in the long term. It's like you are in a war, you fighting, and then you're almost losing, and the enemy is striking you, but you just feel like not wanting to go on.
Mm.
But if you change your mindset and say, okay, I want to win, I want to keep going, I don't want to give up, because it's possible to overcome that enemy in the battlefield, then you will win. It's like as well a picture of an Olympic winner. He is preparing a lot in pain, maybe 4 or 5 years before, and he's preparing, he's struggling, he has a lot of pain and a lot of setbacks, but at the end, if he keeps going, he possibly wins a medal. And that's what I love about life, because it's all about the mindset, to have a victorious mindset and to keep going in, even if it life is giving setbacks, life is almost not bearable anymore, it's uncomfortable. That's what I realized was going on.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I mean, you touched on a lot of good stuff, and I listed a few things. But one of the things, like, let me just take a break for a bit, because you mentioned chocolate, and you are calling from Switzerland, and that's the land of chocolate. And Roger Federer.
Come on.
So I'm an avid tennis fan, and I play tennis as well. So I love Roger. Anyway, so just a icebreaker for that one. But then a few things. So one of the things that you mentioned is having that mindset, you know, using our mind to our advantage. And we're going to really dive into that also a bit later. But I love how you framed it for our listeners. But the other thing that I want to go into is, you mentioned about spirituality and all this, and reading your story as well, and how you have interacted at some points in your life with God. And I kind of have a similar situation that happened to me, you know, when I was very depressed and almost at that point of, you know, ending it as well. And so I can totally relate to your story. And I was so angry. I was just, you know, like shouting. And after I shouted very, very loudly at one night, right? And suddenly there was this eerie silence. And, you know, it was like, I've never experienced that before. And it was very kind of like a divine moment. And I just heard something, you know, I don't know if it's God or whoever, like, right? But it told me something that I needed to focus on and need to do. And that kept me going and living life. And so I attribute like that is a very significant landmark or you know, point in my life. And so one of the things that I read about you in 2000 or like, you know, 20 years ago, you said you gave your life to Jesus. And when once you did that, you know, it filled your life with all the things that you've been looking for. Maybe you can tell the listeners more about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it was a really defining moment when I decided to do that. Yeah, I realized, or I still remember that it was almost like a fresh, clean waterfall rushing over my life and filled with the peace, the grace, the joy, the passion, the compassion, and so many things that we cannot buy in this world.
Mm.
And I love that for me, it was, even though I was, I would say, on the highest point of my life, I realized that there's something more to life than just having a better health. Because I think you can buy today, you can buy a better health if you have you can. It's all about but I think nothing comes. The most things that satisfy us long term and eternally is the things that we cannot buy physically.
Mm.
And so for me it was a really, as I said, it was she's standing on the continually waterfall pouring over me, which I felt like the unconditional love of God, the peace, the joy, the passion, the hope. And this was something incredible to experience because you see the other world of the world. this is just something that everybody has to experience by themselves. And it doesn't need to be that everyone experiences it in the same way. Each person is differently, and God knows that, and he gives us what we most desire. And that was absolutely incredible.
Nice. And after experiencing that, how does that affect? Because it was only kind of like you were still young during that time, and you still experienced a lot of years of challenges on your health. And so how does that experience help you moving forward?
Right. Great question. For me, it was, I think, firstly, changing the perspective that creating the belief that all things will work together for good. And what this does is like when you create a certain hope or a certain expectation that things are getting better, you get so much momentum in your life to keep going. And it doesn't mean that life is not going to be hard anymore, or it's going to be smooth. No, but it's like you look at it from a different angle. You create a different perspective. You have a hope to know that, well, whatever happens now, whatever, how deep the valley is, or how big the mountain is, or how high the mountain, on how where you are on the mountaintop, it's going to work out for the good. And that's what I believe. And I've been holding on that belief since then. And of course, some weeks, some months, some years, or even someday, it's easy to believe. Depends as well on the circumstances, but I never lost the belief to fully comprehend that God can take those situations and turn it around for the better. And it really has happened, and I believe that it can happen for anyone, because that's just how it is.
Amazing. And so one of the things that I've read about, a couple of things that I've read about your story as well, is that so you've dreamed to become a painter, and you did some ski instructing as well. So even with all, you know, the struggles that you've been going through with your health and all, you're still kind of like doing stuff, like wanting stuff, dreaming of things and achieving them at the same time. And so, but not only that, so that was very interesting when I read that. But one interesting story that really got my attention was when you went to Australia and you wanted to attend this college, right? What's the name of the college again?
Hillsong Leadership College.
Yeah, Hillsong Leadership College. And so then, you know, what people don't know is that your English wasn't that very good around that time. And and I saw and I read that in 2013, they were saying that your English was just basic level. And so from 2013 to now, like speaking on stage and everything, that's a really cool accomplishment. But going back to the story is that you took up the exam, but because of your English comprehension and all these things, you struggled and you failed, but you really wanted to get in. And, you know, someone from the management, I forgot the position, called you up. And okay, maybe you want to tell, because it's fascinating story, tell us more about the story.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So the reality was I had a couple sessions here in Switzerland English, but it was like, how are you and where are you from, that was it. And so the college required a certain level of English, and I was far away from that. And so I decided to go into English school in Australia for about 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Of those 8 weeks, I learned a lot of vocabulary and grammatic, but not really speaking. And so, it was kind of exciting, but also I never knew. In the back of my mind, I was in the college, but yet the reality was looking differently, completely different. So they required me to do an English test, and there was no way to do it because I was still far away from that level. You need to know that my personality style is kind of, if I want something, I always will find a way. So whether it's you know, as long as nobody gets hurt, it's not a problem. So nobody got hurt in that, but it was not really. I did things, to be honest, that I was not always aligning up with my morality in order to go into that college. But at the end, I was connected with the principal. And I told him, hey, look, I have done a couple of tests. They don't let me in, please. You need to help me. And this guy was amazing. This man was believing in me. He always wanted me to have him in college. I was getting to know him like 2 years previously when I was traveling to Australia with a couple of friends. Another friend of mine was at the time at the college. I text him, hit him up, and he said, like, yeah, I'm going to call you in a couple of days. And I'm like, no, how do I do that? I don't understand anything, and even the Australian accent. So somehow he called me, and somehow I just understood it. I still don't know how that happened today. I realized, okay, he just said, hey, I'm going to put you into the college, but I want you to be surrounded not by the Swiss friends, but by the Australian friend in order to learn English. And that's how I got into the college. And even the campus principal had really doubts about it. Mm-hmm. In the beginning. And interesting was, like, I still don't know how it happens. Like, it was just, I think, a divine appointment. It was hard, especially the first year. I just didn't understand anything in the first few weeks. I always had to during the classes to get a dictionary to look up what did the teacher say, what's going on there. They had some slides up where I could look at it and realize what's going on. And that's the beginning of my English career. And it took me about maybe one and a half years into the college where I was really comfortable to speak. A normal talk with people, and it was a very interesting time. But as I always say, there are no limitations to the mind, except the ones we acknowledge it. And I believe there's nothing is impossible. There's always a way if we dream and go for something. And that's what I want to inspire people to really step out of the average. It doesn't have to be always to go according to the rules. Sometimes you have to break rules. Again, breaking rules in terms of nobody get hurt or nobody, I mean, if you kill somebody, that's absolutely not good. That's what I'm against it as well. But you know what I mean? Like, you have the breaking rules in terms of saying, okay, I go for that. And I love that there's so much unlimited potential within us that hasn't been yet coming forward in the physical realm. And that's why I love to inspire people to be the same.
I totally agree. And speaking of this kind of like rules, breaking rules, and maybe like just to ask coaches, right? We're both coaches, and to speak on the context of beliefs, right? Because a lot of people have a particular belief on something, and as coaches, we always challenge those beliefs. And I think in the context of breaking rules, that's the perfect example in that, because not a lot of beliefs out there works for everyone, you know, and if it's not working for you, that's something that can be changed, or what we call in NLP, reprogram, and then you have something better that can work for your life. So a quote that based on this story that you just shared is that when I desperately want something, almost every time I get what I dream of. So I love that. And it's when you desperately want something. And really, I think what you were saying is that doing everything or whatever it takes to get what you want. That's part of that mindset that you are talking about. So let me...
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So the other day, it really got me something that... It's part of my fate that I live out. It say that rules are actually counterpart to the relationships. So what that means is like relationship is all about you want to. You love somebody because you want to, but rules are actually the opposite, because rules tell you what you are not allowed to do, what you cannot do, and what you are not. Rules are something that are the opposite of relationship.
And
why do I tell that? Because I believe that the God, the creator of the universe, is a God of relationship, of love. He gives us the free will to do whatever we want, because he doesn't want to push us into something that we have to do, but he wants us to do things that we want to do. It really got me to, life is all about relationship, building relationship as well. Not making rules about things, because I feel like oftentimes rules are very limiting, because we have to stick to a certain thing, but that's just not reality, because everybody has a unique DNA, a unique ability, uniqueness in their personality, in their strength, passion, and value. And if we put rules on people, we limit their ability to unfold their potential that God has put into our heart. And this is really something that it's almost impossible to comprehend in a world that we live in. But I believe that it's all about the relationship to go for all that God has put into our heart.
Very nicely said. Very nicely said. So how do you view your sickness now, like what you are experiencing?
Some days it doesn't exist in my mind. Some days it does. I don't know anything else. So I'm almost, I accept it, but I don't limit myself by it. So I think that's really important to say, okay, well, I live with that, but not limiting by that. And again, some days it feels like a rule where I have to stick to it, because the body just doesn't align with the mind. Mm-hmm. But again, I said early on, it's a battle, it's a tension between the spiritual and the physical. Mm. And I believe that, I still believe in miracles, that one day I will be completely healed, that there will be two perfect kidneys, that I can live completely without hearing aid and all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And but if it doesn't happen in this world, then I still will trust that it will be used for something better than I imagined. And that's how I deal with it.
Well, I mean, I think the listeners also probably already believe that there's miracles because of you, Nathaniel. Like, you are already a walking miracle, right? Like six times. So, wow. And I do hope that for you as well, that, you know, you'll be able to reach that point. So now I'm very curious, like, after all what you've experienced, why speaking? Why coaching?
I think speaking is one of the, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's words are powerful. They either can destroy or build up a life. And words are just our everyday life. And I think we need more people in this world that speak words of life, speak words of building up life, and that's one thing. However, you can inspire people, and inspiration might be lasting for short term. And the reality is that we need to put words into practice, which I believe is mentoring. That's what I do. Victorious Mindset Mentoring. It's one of the ways that I help people to really turn those words, the life-building words, into practice. Mm. And that's why I do what I do today.
Cool. And so maybe you can explain more about that victorious mentoring that you do, or the victorious mindset that you want to, you know, help people have in their journey so they can be more successful in life.
Absolutely. So what I achieve to do with people, or of course somebody needs to, or not needs to, but wants to do it, mm-hmm. I want to help people develop a victorious mindset in whatever circumstances they are, whether they are in a family circumstance, in a business situation, in a life health difficulty, to help them on the pathway to develop a victorious mindset in order to break through the limitation that they might see that are limitation. Basically to unlimit themselves mentally and physically with the strength of the mindset. And I got a process to do that, which I call the 4 steps to unlimit your life. So mm-hmm. what I do with people and help people to really go deeper into that, the 4 steps is a process of, the first step is about identifying who am I as a person, really going into the core. The second step is about what am I here for, mm-hmm. Why I do what I do, or why I want to do what I want to do, what can I bring, and I identify the strength, passion, and value that I have, which are very unique. The constellation of those, no one else is like that in this world. So we all have that unique constellation of the passion, values, and strength, where we can serve people, we can help people, we can take people along the path to get them out of the pit. The third step is about taking those strengths, passion, and values, and creating a dream or a vision from that. Because I think it's so important when the moment you realize, of course, it's a lifelong process, but at the certain point you realize, hey, I'm that person. I'm capable to do this and that and this. This is why I'm here, and I can do this and that and this. We can create a dream and realize, okay, we have a certain direction where we can go. And that's, I think, so important in life, because we all know that so many people out there living a life based on other people, because they don't really know who they are or what they're here for. And they just stick to the group that they are surrounded by that. But oftentimes, most of people, they don't feel satisfied or fulfilled. And the first step is all about stepping into that practically. Mentoring, so the first step that will help people to continually take them on the hand and walk them on the journey to their dream that will help them have a fulfilled life to unlimited potential. And that's what I do.
Wow. Sounds like a, you know, a very solid and very effective process. And if I remember correctly, it's on your website as well, right?
Absolutely. So I have two websites. On one website, nathanieltrubeck.com, you can get, if you want to know more about me personally, the life story, you can get on that. And there's the business website, unlimitedyou.co. And on both of the websites, there is the ebook that takes you through the four steps to unlimit your life in a specific frame, where it's almost like a workbook where you can go through. And both of the websites, you can download it for completely for free. Nice. And I would love to help you whenever I can. If you feel like you need help in that, please reach out on the website. And
yeah, for sure. And I'll add that in the show notes as well to include those two websites. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and, you know, you felt that connection with Nathaniel, and, you know, you also find that you want to have that victorious mindset. And it's a very good, very clear step-by-step process that he has. And he has a free ebook. So, you know, it's free. So, if you want to connect with him as well, definitely. So, I have another, like, I have a quick fire questions, but I have one more questions. But before I ask that questions, what else would you like, what's your final say or advice to the people who are listening?
Great question. I would say, like, just never give up on yourself, on your life, no matter how it looks like right now, the struggle, the inability to change something, or always be aware that it's the deeper the valley, the higher the mountains. And keep going, get help. There are a lot of people, including me, that would love to help you. And don't limit yourself by the things surrounded by. And there are no limitations to the mind except the ones we acknowledge.
Fantastic. That's a great message. So I want to end our conversation, but not the interview yet, but the your story and all this. So now that, you know, you've experienced all of that after like three decades of living this life, being in that body, right? So what do you now appreciate most about your journey?
Great question. I think like the ability to just be unique, because I realized that when you have a journey like that, you spend so much time with yourself, and which is amazing, because it gives you the ability to know you very well, to know you, what you need, what you And I always appreciate that more, because today I'm so quick to say no to something when I quickly realize it's not fitting into my life. And I believe that I wish and hope that more and more people can do that, because to really live authentically day life that they're called to be, and really not living somebody else's life. And that's really what I appreciate that. And I really want to inspire you. Take some minutes, start with little 2-5 minutes a day to really spend time with yourself and think about, hey, who am I? What am I here for? And what do I really want in life? What cries do I have in my inside? What is something that I can sing, or I will? What is something I would like to do that would make me sing every day? It's not a shame to lower the stress level or lower the busyness in your life. It will help you in the long term. That's really something that I appreciate, that I learned about in my life.
Great. All right. So time for my quick fire questions. All right. So the first question is, what are one or two books that made a huge shift in your perspective in life?
Great question. One is Think and Grow Rich. And the other one is The Shack.
Which one?
The Shack.
The Shack? Oh, yeah. Who's the author of that?
You ask me questions.
It's okay. I can look it up. First time I heard that.
It's a really great book that I just read. They're the true books.
Cool. So this might be a more complicated question than normally, but what's an unforgettable failure that created an unexpected success or opportunity?
Can you repeat the question again, please?
So what's an unforgettable failure, because you have a lot, so I'm sure you can think of something, that created an unexpected, like you never expected an opportunity out of that, or a success?
Failure that I made personally, or that gave me the failure?
Anything.
Okay. Good question. I think it was my depression that I had 8 years ago that really, I was 9 years old, and it was just a failure of learning to keep going and never giving up. And even though it would be so clear and so everything would have spoken to giving up. That's something that I would say.
Cool. Next question. So what is one of your most worthwhile investments that you've ever made? And this investment can be anything, you know, can be like real investment or time or energy or people.
Starting a relationship with God. The best investment. For me, it was the best. And I believe for other people, it's just incredible. If you invest into that relationship, that a God that unconditionally loves you, no matter how many times you messed up, or how much failures you had. That's what I will say.
That's nice. All right. So the next one is, if you can travel back in time and only meet your 15-year-old self and give one advice, what would that be?
Traveling even more. Traveling more as well, investing earlier financially, financial freedom earlier.
Cool. Yeah, Yeah, well, when we, you know, if we could have invested much, much younger, then we'll be probably rich by now, right? Okay. So next one. What makes you feel alive?
Traveling, inspiring people. The most thing is when I can travel and know. Sitting into plane and on the other side, I know there's waiting people that need inspiration. Mm-hmm. And that makes me most alive.
Nice. What's your proudest moment in life?
Oh, there are many. One is finishing the leadership college in Sydney. Winning an award that only. So there were different awards, but the award that I was winning, there was only one award per year. Wow. And because of my achievements, the award is still in Australia. I was looking at I always have to remember what it was. But that was my proudest moment to really realizing that after those 3 hard years of fighting, not just language-wise, but also visa-wise, the leaders and the principal acknowledged me for the hard work. Mm. And that was a really proud moment that I will always be grateful and look back for.
Nice. And I think the harder we work for something, you know, like and fight for something, and you know, the sweeter it is when we achieve it. Right.
Yeah, I'm a big believer into what you sow, you will reap, and the reward will always come. Mostly in a bigger sense than you expected. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, hey, never give up and keep going, because the reward is around the corner.
Mm, I believe in that as well. Cool. So last 2 questions. So what does success look like to you?
Great question. For me, I need to think about how I put that into words. Success is not necessarily how much you have, but what you do with it. And whether it's relationship, finances, business-wise, health. And that's what success looks like for me. To multiply the things you have.
Mm, nice. I love that. It's the first time I heard that. I mean, from all the guests in the podcast. Cool. The last question is, what does happiness look like to you?
Another great question. I think to be grateful, whatever you have, whatever you can do, whoever you are right now, and being satisfied, being content with where you are right now and who you are and what you do right now. Yeah.
Awesome.
And being happy in a small thing, because I believe if you can't be happy in a small thing, then you won't be able to do it when you have the big things. It's not about how much you have, again, it's about how you deal with it.
Mm, I totally agree. Well, that ends the interview. Thank you very much, Nathaniel. I really enjoyed it. And you know, you're very inspirational. Thank you for sharing your story, your learnings, and your intentions to the world, to the listeners as well. So I really appreciate you. I really appreciate everything that you do as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. And I was so privileged to speak to you and to your listeners. Thank you so much.